Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Is something burning? No, it's just time for the WIP Evening Show Hot Stove Check-In.
Yes, it is that time of night. The Hot Stove Check-In, which has become half Hot Stove, half Clearwater Check-In. As we look at what's going on down in Clearwater with the Phils, spring training underway. But as we know, we're still waiting on Harper, Machado, Machado, Harper. We've heard from Matt Klentak, Gabe Kapler, and today we got to hear from Andy McPhail. Matt Breen is down there in Clearwater, Florida. He joins us. Philly.com, Daily News Inquirer. Matt, how you doing tonight?
Good. How you doing, Joe?
Good. And a lot to talk about here is the Phillies. It's funny, Matt. I saw a story the other day. Jeff Passan, who's now at ESPN, was formerly at Yahoo. And it was basically it was his first spring training story. And he said, I'm paraphrasing, but the Phillies are kind of the story of baseball right now for what they have done and what everyone is kind of still waiting for them to do here.
It seems like it because especially more what they've done, not to discredit what they've done, but I think most importantly, it's what people expect them to do before opening day, because as you know, this market started going back to, you know, say spring training last year, when you started sizing up the Bryce Harper Machado market, everybody, you know, you had a list of teams and the Phillies were in that. And they're really the only consistent team that stayed a year later is still there. Never left the market. Teams have, like the Yankees have kind of come and go from that market, but the Phillies have stayed in it the whole time. So they're almost like the one serious contender for these two guys that have been here, been in that race for a year. And everybody knows obviously how much money they have to spend and how much willingness they have to spend that money. So they're still the favorites. Here we are almost a month from opening day.
Matt, what did you take away from Andy McPhail's press conference today? I mean, he opened with kind of a soliloquy on what he and this front office has done the last 3 years and kind of how we got to where we are now. I thought it was interesting when he mentioned ticket sales, which really haven't jumped, I guess, that much from last year. And also, I think the phrase he used was it takes two to tango when he was asked about why nothing has really happened and why one of these guys isn't signed, whether it be Machado or Harper. It just felt like another leverage play from the Phillies that, like, our offer's out there. They're kind of waiting on these guys to come back to them at this point.
It sounded a lot like what Matt Klentak said yesterday. And it's so similar that you even mixed up what they said, because it was Klentak who said two to tango.
Okay.
And then it was McPhail that said it takes two – it takes another there's always a second half.
Right, that was it. Yeah.
So, you know, it was almost the exact same phrasing the two guys used. I think, and obviously they're coming from the same place where everyone's saying, why aren't the Phillies signing Manny Machado and Bryce Harper? Well, they're throwing the blame onto the other side, onto the players, onto the agents that, you know, it's not our fault. We want to sign, you know, we want to make this happen, but it takes, you know, another party to make that deal. And I just, from my main takeaway was that the Phillies are still, yes, they're still in this, but no, they're not in a rush to make this happen. And I would be really surprised if anything happened before March at this rate.
Matt, what did you make? Let's go back to Matt Klentak yesterday. What did you make of how he deemed their offseason so far? And I took it as, listen, we've done a good job here. We're going to be a better team. It was almost trying to move the conversation away from Machado Harper, but and I heard Gabe the other day too when he had a on-field thing and Howard Eskin was periscoping it. It feels like no matter what these guys do and what they say, the conversation is not going to move away from those two guys until they're signed.
No, it can't. You can't get away from it. Even talking to players in the clubhouse, you know, it's the subject. What else? You can't even look at the season without knowing where these two guys are going to be playing. There's, you know, a competition at third base and a competition in right field, but you can't talk about those competitions without noting the fact that there might not be a competition because the Phillies might sign Manny Machado or Bryce Harper. So it's just like the elephant in the room, but I mean, it's a part of everything. And the Klentak, My main takeaway was that was I wasn't surprised that he, you know, tried to talk that obviously the offseason is not a failure if they don't sign Machado or Bryce Harper, which I agree that it's, you know, it's not a failure. It's a disappointment because I think as good as this offseason was, you know, you have to finish it by signing one of the two superstars that this offseason was really built around. But him kind of like turning down the excitement level was very similar to what he said at the end of the season in Colorado. I remember it was last week of the season and asked him about this, about, you know, do you need to go sign one of these guys? And he said, well, there's a really great free agency market in 2019 and 2020 too. So it just seemed like, was he kicking the can down the road, or was he really just, you know, kind of setting expectations low, which is almost his MO since he's been in Philadelphia. Not in that he's not a guy that's going to give you this great quote or a hype up like star hunting, which Brett Brown gave us last summer. I don't think you're going to get that from Matt Quinta.
Yeah, it's a good point. They try to do that, and then if they give us something, it kind of comes out of nowhere, which of all the things they did this offseason, Matt, and some of them were good, some of them were great. The Real Muto one obviously got everyone excited, but even that came with a cost, so you can have a debate on how much they gave up. The one thing that's been universally praised, and I think was a great move, was the contract that Aaron Nola agreed to the other day. 4 years, 45, could be 5 years, a little over 56. I mean, Matt, with what some of these pitchers make around baseball, if he stays healthy and if Aaron Nola's the guy he was last year moving forward, we're talking about a guy that could have made 30-plus a year down the road here.
Yeah, I think I saw your tweet that what he would have made just based on WAR from last season, and it's just – that's like 1 year of his – that his 1 year was his entire contract.
Yeah, $45 million. It's
incredible.
Nuts.
Just how – it's a team – it's a great deal for the Phillies, and I mean – it's a great deal for Aaron Nola. He made $45 million, so you can't knock him. It's his decision to make. He wanted to sign to do this deal. He pushed his agent to do it. He said, but when you look at the grand scheme of things, it's not a good deal for other starting pitchers that want to go to free agency, that want to go to arbitration. If Nola had went to arbitration the other night, he probably would have won, or at least he would have. Even if he lost, it would have been a record for a losing arbitration case. So it's tough in that aspect, but I also can't blame the guy for when you look ahead, do you really want to be a free agent? And the way that baseball is going right now, you know, if he had a chance to take care of it now, not worry about being Dallas Keuchel in 3 years and not having teams go after you and not having a team to play for in spring training. So he gave himself, you know, a little just ease of mind going into the season.
Matt Breen with us here on the Hot Stove Check-In. Matt, let's talk about some things actually happening around and on the field that could pertain to how this season looks as we move forward here. A couple camp competitions, which I find interesting because last year we didn't hear that kind of stuff, and maybe that word is a new thing now for this year's camp with Gabe Kapler. But third base, Michael Franco, Scott Kingery, at least for now, unless Machado comes. And center field and the outfield spots outside of McCutchen, it seems like it's just completely wide open. Let's start with third base. Kingery and Franco, are you surprised that Kingery's got a real shot, or at least the way they're saying it, that he could be the third baseman?
I'm not surprised that he's going to get time at third base, because my main thing going into spring training was, who is the backup third baseman? And Scott Kingery can – obviously he – played a bunch of different positions last year, but if you look at those positions that he played, second base is Cesar Hernandez, shortstop now is Gene Segura, and the outfield is you know, a ton of guys with Andrew McCutchen and now Nick Williams and Odubel Herrera and Roman Quinn and Aaron Altair. So there wasn't a spot for him to move around but third base, which is where J.P. Crawford played a lot last year when Franco missed almost like months at a time. It seemed like he was being benched. So to me, it was like he has a shot at least. Most of his reps are going to be at third base. But I thought, and I still do think this, that the plan is to move him around. And I don't expect him to be the everyday third baseman if they don't sign Manny Machado. Because I still think if they don't sign Manny Machado, where else can Michael Franco play besides third base? So, you know, he's not a utility player. So I think, I don't even know if it's a real competition, really. I think it's just so hard to talk about it because you don't know what Manny Machado is going to be doing. But overall, I just think third base is Michael Franco's position to lose. I don't see him losing that to Scott Kingery. I think the plan for Scott Kingery is to still move around and play different positions. But the majority of his reps, if Manny Machado is not here, will be at third base.
And then the outfield. And I think it's interesting just the way they've spoken about Odubel Herrera since the end of last year. Because it was pretty clear, Matt, that not only did he slump, but he fell out of favor as the year went on. I know Roman Quinn gave them a spark, but like Odubel was a good player for a while here, you know, a couple years, and then he had a good start to last season. And all of a sudden, Roman Quinn came up, and there were stretches last year. We barely saw Odubel. So there was something there. Gabe never said it. He never threw the guy under the bus. But then as things kind of rounded out, that you realize that they weren't thrilled about the shape he came in last year, and now he's in better shape. They talked to him, and now he's in a competition as well for playing time.
Yeah, and again, it's like – I don't even know if it's a real competition. As I listened back to what Gabe said today, it seemed like it's a competition to create motivation for guys, to create a reason to be in camp for 5 or 6 weeks, and to not say, Odubel Herrera, you're the starting center fielder. Nick Williams, you're the starting right fielder. Roman Quinn, no matter what happens, you're going to be, you know, our jack of all trades in the outfield, and you're going to play all three positions. To me, they want to give a push, like you talked about Odubel Herrera coming to camp last year out of shape. He came in the camp this year, seems to be in better shape, and the one way to give him another push is to say, oh, you have to earn that spot in center field. But I would be shocked if he's not the starting center fielder on opening day, and I'd be shocked if Nick Williams, if Bryce Harper's not in Philadelphia, is not the starting right fielder. And Roman Quinn is your prototypical bench player. He can run, he can pinch hit, he can play all three outfield positions, could even in a pinch you played infield last spring training. So I think it's a competition at both at third base and right field and center field in theory, but I really think it's just like almost manufactured storylines by Gabe Kapler to create motivation for his players. And that's what he kind of even said, that competition is great because it motivates guys. So I don't know how real that competition really is.
Yeah, and maybe it's just him trying to put the pulse on, or having the pulse of his player. Maybe Odubel needs that. Maybe Michael needs it. We'll see. Last one for you, Matt. I read your story about the Nola extension, but also the Real Muto trade. The scout, Mike Stauffer, I think is how you say his name. Tell us about him, because I feel like, and people should go read the story at philly.com, but I feel like when things like this happen in with a team, we never think about the guy behind the scenes that helped make it happen. Like when everyone thinks about the Real Muto trade, Klentak is who we talk about. But without Mike Stauffer, that trade doesn't happen.
Yeah, it was interesting to talk to him. A guy that he's a Southeast area scout, so he scouts high school players and college players in the Southeast part of the country, including the Florida Panhandle, Louisiana, Mississippi. And he discovered, he was the first Phillies person that put his eyes on Aaron Nola in 2013 at LSU, followed his reports, persuaded the Phillies that, you know, he was the right guy to pick at 7. And then this kid, Will Stewart, was a guy, left-handed pitcher that he really did discover. He was pitching at a high school tournament in Alabama, and he persuaded the Phillies to take a late round flyer on him, give him a big signing bonus, get him in their system. He had a really good year in the minors last year. So when push come to shove in the Real Muto trade, Sixto Sanchez was obviously the headliner of that package, but Will Stewart was the second player. When it was a player that Matt Klentak said made the deal. The deal doesn't happen without Will Stewart, Klentak said, and the deal doesn't happen without Mike Stauffer, who discovered Will Stewart. And then a week later, after that trade, they signed Aaron Nola, the pitcher he helped the Phillies land, to a long-term extension. So it was a great week for this area scout. And these guys, you know, like you said, they don't get a lot of attention. They don't get a lot of, stories written about them. So it was a nice chance to talk to somebody who doesn't really, you know, get that attention.
It was a good story. And obviously it's a big part of this organization. Matt, I appreciate you hopping on here tonight, and we'll talk soon. And if there's news, we'll talk maybe even sooner. All right. Have a good weekend, Matt.
Thanks a lot, Joe. You too. Take care.
There he goes. Matt Breen of philly.com joining us there to talk about everything going on in Clearwater. So he thinks those camp battles are make-believe, that it's just more manufactured storyline and a way to motivate Michael Franco, a way to try to motivate Odubel Herrera. I definitely buy his theory on Odubel. I just don't see a way Odubel Herrera doesn't play a lot for the Phillies. Roman Quinn always gets hurt. They only have, if Aaron Altherr could be the third, but they really only have two true center fielders on this team, and that's Roman Quinn and that's Odubel. Anyone else, and I think Aaron could do it, but anybody else, they're not a center fielder. Like Andrew McCutchen can't play center field anymore. If Bryce Harper comes here, he can't play center field. He was awful at it last year. And Nick Williams is not a center fielder. So that position is limited. That position is very limited on who could actually play it. So I buy it in that it's make-believe. Odubel's going to play anyway, motivate him. The Franco thing is interesting because it's just pretty clear the Phillies don't like Michael Franco. Not a personal way. They just don't believe in the guy. Last year, if you go back to last year with Michael Franco and you go back to his season last year, they were waiting for any excuse to pull him out of the lineup and not play Michael Franco. To the fact that he lost his job. He lost his job to J.P. Crawford. J.P. Crawford was going to be the Phillies' everyday third baseman last year, and then J.P. Crawford had a game, I think it was an afternoon game here, late June, middle of June, against the Rockies, where he got, I think, a hit on the hand with a pitch and broke his hand. And then Franco had to actually come back in, and for 6 weeks or so, Michael Franco played really well. But I'm trying to look it up now because I remember this is how much they didn't want to play Michael Franco. Let's see if I can find the box score here. This was late last season. They lost Crawford. Franco had to come back in, but I believe Crawford played. Franco played one game coming back in for Crawford after his injury, and the next day, let's see if I'm right on this. The next day, after that, he didn't even start that game. Who started that game? It was what one of the guys they had in. They had a million infielders at one point. It was, yes, I got this. So Crawford hurt his hand. Franco played the next day. And then it wasn't like, oh, Crawford, you're the guy. Yesmel Valentin played the next game at third base. And then Michael got hot, and they just played him for a while, and then he got hurt again in late August, early September. But I just don't think they buy Michael Franco ever being much of anything. And I think they're going to look for any excuse to not play Michael Franco, whether it is sign Manny Machado, sign a Mike Moustakas, or play some Scott Kingery at third base. It wouldn't surprise me if we see, if Harper's the one that signs, it wouldn't surprise me if we see more Scott Kingery at third base than you would think. All right, I'll play a couple sound bites here on the kind of the rumors news of the day. But one thing before I do that is I read this. So Jeff Passan, ESPN, had a piece today on the free agency and on the market and all this nonsense going on with these guys not signing. So this line was unbelievable to me. And I don't think it's going to happen, but this is out there right now. ESPN's Jeff Passan. And them, I'm going to say them. He's talking about Machado Harper. The notion of them holding out until April, while not explicitly threatened yet, is not entirely unrealistic either. Just hear that again. The notion of them holding out until April, until the season starts, is not totally unrealistic. I would imagine that will not happen, but the fact that that is even being thought about shows you where we are with this thing. All right, a couple things to play. Let's play Buster Olney first, then we'll play some of Chris Russell, who was on with the Midday guys today. So Buster Olney on the Get Up program with Mike Greenberg on Thursday had a couple things to say about this whole situation. First, let's play Buster on how these deals will eventually look and how long of contracts these guys will get.
I think by the end of the month, at some point, I think you're going to see either Harper or Machado jump on an offer that the Phillies have made.
Either Harper or Machado jump on an offer the Phillies have made.
Tell you that I think in the end, with Harper and Machado, they will wind up getting pretty long-term contracts, anywhere from 8 to 10 years. It's just taken a lot longer than people expected.
So that is good news. When you put those two things together, that they're both going to get 8 to 10 years, and one of them will jump at the Phillies' money. That seems to be what we've all wanted anyway. Now, hopefully that's Harper, but that tends to lead to good things. Now, Chris Russell, who works at 106.7 The Fan down in D.C.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.